おはようございます。Can we turn off one of the lights? Matthew 3:13-17. When Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John, but John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him, I am well pleased.
マタイによる福音書3章13節17節。さてイエスはヨハネからバプテスマを受けるためにガリラヤからヨルダンにお着きになり、ヨハネのところに来られた。しかしヨハネはイエスにそうさせまいとして言った。私こそあなたからバプテスマを受けるはずですのに、あなたが私のところにおいでになるのですか。ところがイエスは答えて言われた。今はそうさせてもらいたい。このようにしてすべての正しいことを実行するのは私たちにふさわしいのです。そこでヨハネは承知した。こうしてイエスはバプテスマを受けてすぐに自ら上がられた。すると天が開け、神の御霊が鳩のように下って自分の上に来られるのをご覧になった。また天からこう告げる声が聞こえた。これは私の愛する子、私はこれを喜ぶ。
I'm not the pastor, but before I give a prayer to our fathers, I just want to, every Father's Day I think about a story about my dad and my parents of how much they suffered when they were young, like some of us. And the story that he tells us went something like this. When he was like 20 and she was, my mom, was like 19, she always followed him. That's what my mom doesn't say that, but she always followed him without saying anything, even though he never did invite her. But she was always following him. And then when they got married, they were so poor that in their lunch boxes, the boxes were always empty today, empty tomorrow. But through all this, they somehow survived. They didn't cry, they didn't complain. As a matter of fact, he said that many times they just laughed it off. You know, maybe they lived on love, I don't know. But anyway, one day, he said how they cried when the sun finally shone on them and they became better off. And then, funny thing, years later, a Japanese song came out. And the meaning of the song is exactly what my parents went through. And the name of the song is, maybe some of you know, Myoto Shunju. And it was made popular by a singer named Murata Hideo. And now let me just recite, you know, in Japanese, what the song said. Okay, first couple of verses. ついてこいとは言わぬのに、黙って後からついてきた。それが、ついてこいのに、それが、Anyway, later on it says, let me start over again. Maybe I'll do better this time. ついてこいとは言わぬに、黙って後からついてきた。それが御霊というのなら、I get nervous, you know, 後から、涙が、 愚痴も涙も言わぬのに黙って後からついてきた、それが御事というのなら、Anyway, I give up. So I leave the Japanese up to Sensei. I'm sorry. Next time I'll remember that. But let us pray for our fathers. Lord, please take care of our dad. Though they are brave and protective, they must also be frightened sometimes when money runs low and we need things. Lord, when their hearts break because they can't do it all, please help us to let them know how much we love them and how much you love them. Thank you. Amen. ごめんなさい。
Thank you, Kenji, for your story. Again, happy Father's Day for all you fathers out there. And we can't say enough of our appreciation to tell you thank you for being good fathers, for all of you good fathers. And today, I wanted to talk about God as our Father and God's approval of our lives. The Father's approval. Because I know that, I know personally people who've lived their entire lives trying to earn their Father's approval. You know anyone like that? You know, they're usually pretty driven and successful and drive nice cars, but for some reason, they still live wanting the Father's approval, their Father's approval. And I just want to tell you today, if you're in Christ and God is your Father, you'll never be able to earn His approval. In fact, He approves of you just because you're His son. Amen. Or daughter. But all of us, whether we're male or female, are considered sons because there is an inheritance for us. Amen. And in some ways, we're all considered daughters because we're the bride of Christ. Anyways, let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You, we worship You, we want to acknowledge You and say we are so thankful, Lord, that You are a good Father, that You provide for us, You care for us, and You have a great, great inheritance waiting for us. Like Wayne said, we thank You for the heavenly bank account that You have made and created for us. We thank You, Lord, for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today's message comes from Jesus' baptism. It's in Matthew chapter 3. But in Jesus' baptism, something incredible happens, if you notice. Heaven opens up. The Holy Spirit comes down in the form of a dove. And you hear an audible voice, God's audible voice, and says, this is my son who I am well pleased. Now I want to talk about baptism real quick before I talk about the Father's approval. And that's to say, baptism is an act of obedience and association with God. Baptism is simply an act of obedience to associate ourselves with God. And if you have not been baptized, but you feel in your heart that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I encourage you to be baptized because it's an act of obedience. It's something Jesus tells us to do. And although baptism here, Jesus is immersed in water, when Jesus tells us to baptize, He's not simply talking about water. When He says, go and baptize in the name of the Son, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Holy Spirit, He's talking more about being immersed in Jesus, in His teaching. Being immersed in God the Father. Being immersed in the Holy Spirit. But all that to say is water baptism is important. But it's simply an act of obedience. Baptism, the next slide, is not a magical ritual to open up the heavens and invoke the Holy Spirit. I don't know, when you were baptized, I don't know if anything amazing happened. If it didn't, that's okay. If it did, praise God. But baptism doesn't open up the heavens. In your baptism, the Holy Spirit may not come down like a dove, and God's audible voice may not thunder out. But what it is, and what Jesus says prior to his baptism, is it's an act of obedience which Jesus called a fulfillment of righteousness. Fulfillment of righteousness. And it's amazing what happens. It's amazing what happens when we do simple acts of obedience. Now, when Jesus was baptized, God's voice was heard. It's interesting. You rarely hear God's audible voice in the Bible, in the New Testament. Here and there. What God says here, when Jesus is baptized, is, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. With him I am well pleased." Now you have to understand, the Father's approval over Jesus' life was spoken over him prior to any great miracles, prior to any great sacrifice. Now, you can make the argument that Jesus becoming human and taking the form of human was a great miracle and sacrifice itself, but before Jesus even healed, or before Jesus even took up the cross, God spoke that, "I am well pleased with this man. This is my Son." In fact, the reason why he says, "I love him and I'm well pleased with him," was simply because he's his Son. Now, I try to look up famous people who wanted their father's approval. And I tried to look it up on the internet. I didn't find anything, really. I did find one, though. His name is Adolf Hitler. You guys know him? So, I guess, apparently, according to bio.com, Adolf Hitler, his father did not approve of Hitler's interest in fine arts. Now imagine that. Imagine if Adolf Hitler was, instead of who he became, was an artist, because his father was like, "Hey son, I really enjoy your interest in art," and encouraged him in that. But for many people, unfortunately, I don't want to say many, but unfortunately, some of us, we go through life longing to hear our earthly father, his approval, do we not? For some reason, and even though maybe our fathers are good fathers, and even though they are encouraging, for some reason, that's one of the most important things to hear growing up, is to hear even our earthly father's approval. Now, fathers, I want to talk to you, for you fathers out there. If you live long enough, Kenji's already lived a long time, but if you live longer than Kenji, you live long enough, you will learn, not through any sermon, not through any books, but if you live long enough, you will learn to appreciate the beauty of just showing up. Fathers, you will learn that. Because there might be a time when you're too old, too weak to do anything, that you just long for your kids' company. There'll be a time like that. when you'll be so lonely that all you want, you know, your son or daughter or whoever comes, they don't even need to agree with you. They don't even need to do what you want them to do. There will be a time, if you live long enough, that all you want is your kid to just show up. I've heard stories like that. They just want them around. So fathers, before it's too late, encourage your kids. Amen?
Amen.
Just have them enjoy your company while you're able to see them, so that when you're not able to see them, they'll come and see you because they enjoyed your company so much. Now, God our Father, who is infinite in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, it's not that God was too weak, that he learned that just showing up is good enough. But when Jesus showed up to his baptism, God was well pleased. He said, "This is my son. I'm so proud of him. I'm well pleased with him because he just showed up." Now sometimes in our walk with Jesus, the most important thing sometimes is to just show up. Man, let me tell you some of the stresses of a pastor. As a pastor, I love it when you just show up. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to say amen. You could just sleep where you are. That's fine. I love it when you show up. I'm not saying that's me being godly. I'm just saying that's me being insecure sometimes. But God the Father loves it when you just show up. And let me say, the good news is this. When you're in Christ, when you ask Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God's love for Jesus, that he says, "I'm proud, I'm well pleased, he is my son," the same pleasure God has for Jesus, his son, is on you. Amen. Do you believe that? It doesn't matter how far you've strayed. It doesn't matter what kind of lifestyle you lived or are living in. God's love for you will never change. It will never relent. It will never grow weak. It will never grow dim. His love for you will remain the same, and by his good grace it may increase, but it will never diminish. Now, I'm not saying you can live however you like. That's not my point in saying that. But I'm saying that God is love, and his love for you is the same love he has for Jesus Christ. And if it's the same love he has for Jesus Christ, let me just speak this over you. If you're in Jesus, this is my son. This is my daughter, whom I love and I am well pleased with. Amen. That's the Father's heart for you. Really, it is. You don't have to go and save 100 people. You don't have to go and do great works for him. He loves you all the same. He loves it just when you show up. Now, if you don't believe me, here's a parable that Jesus teaches. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. This is a familiar parable. I'm sure most of you know this one. But it's in Luke chapter 15. It's the parable of the lost son. You guys heard that one before? The prodigal son, often called. For those of you who are interested, they try to make a twist on it. You know, these days that's the big thing, right? They try to twist things around. And so, for example, the Wizard of Oz. If you see the play Wicked, you see a little twist on the story. They do that with the Bible too. Instead of the prodigal son, they now call it the prodigal father. Prodigal meaning lavishing and wasteful and loving. But anyways, that's another sermon in itself. But the prodigal son, this is a parable Jesus teaches about his love for you that never changes. I'm just going to read the parable. It says, Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them." You got to understand, he's saying this: "Dad, I can't wait till you die. Give me my inheritance now." That's not a good son. Commentary. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." So here's the story. There was two sons. One of the sons says, "Father, I just want to do my thing, but I don't have money. So just give me, you know, I can't wait till you die. I've been waiting so long, and you're not dead yet. So just give me my money." And he gives him the money. The father actually gives him the money, and then after that he says, "Well, have a nice life." And he goes off to a distant land, and he does things that he shouldn't have done. And then he finds himself poor and broke and working in a field of pigs. And you have to understand, in the Jewish context, you weren't allowed to touch pigs. I'm not Jewish, so I love pig. but in this context, if you're Jewish, and if you're a good Jewish person, you did not touch pigs, associate with pig, eat pigs, let alone want to eat the pods that the pigs are eating. The pigs are disgusting enough, but then he wanted to eat the food that the pigs were eating. So he was in a bind. But then in verse 17 it says, "When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven, against you. I'm no longer to be worthy to be called your son.'" You notice he was not able to finish his little speech. His entire speech that he rehearsed in his head was, "I'm no longer to be worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." But in mid-sentence, the father stops him and says, "I lost my place." What did he say? "But while he was still compassionate, I'm no longer..." But the father stops him and says to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. The father's love never wavered, never weakened. In fact, you may say it was strengthened. You can argue that. That's not in the Bible. The point is this. It doesn't matter where you are. His love for you has not changed. His pleasure in you has not changed. His delight in you has not changed. The son never fell out of the good graces of his father. And the parable is to show us that God's love for you has not changed. However, Just like in this parable. When we live in disobedience, when we're far from God, our Father, as much as He loves us, and as much as He approves of us, we will live like we don't, like, we will live a life that will try to earn His approval. No matter how much He loves us, if we're far from Him and can't hear His voice, our lives will look very much like a person who does not have the approval of his Father, even his earthly Father. Our lives will eventually be like a child who longs for his Father's approval but never receives it. Meaning, it'll be discontent, frustrating, maybe even bitter, an unhealthy drive in our life. And when we don't hear the Father's approval, a lot of times we have a mentality of never good enough. Never good enough. You're never pretty enough. You're never rich enough. You're never good enough. People are driven just to hear their Father's approval. And let me tell you, the same thing happens to us spiritually when we're far from our Father. We're never religious enough, we never pray enough, we never read the Bible enough, we never give enough. God simply wants simple, plain Jane obedience. As simple as a baptism. As simple as showing up. As simple as saying a kind, loving word. All He wants is you to be close. And when we're close, we hear the voice of the Father saying, "I'm so proud of you. I'm so pleased with you. Oh, I love you so much." And when we hear that, we don't need anything more. And we can't earn that. All we need to do is stay close to hear His voice. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You who are infinite in patience, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. You who love and continue to love. You who sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty of my sin and all of our sins. You who long for us to just be close and near. We want to draw close to You, Lord. We want to hear Your voice. We want to be close enough to hear those words You spoke to Your Son, Jesus. "Well done. This is my Son, who I'm well pleased with." Father, we love You, we want to honor You, and we want to continue, Lord, to bless Your holy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.